Broadcasting live from the Regis Business Center and office suites at Satellite Place in Duluth, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio. Gwinnett Business Radio spotlights and highlights companies in Gwinnett County and the people who lead them.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to Gwinnett Business Radio. I'm Mike Salmon. You almost messed me up, Steven.
I didn't do anything. I just opened my mouth, Mike. Goodness gracious, you're on edge today.
You know why? I worked till midnight last night.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
So,
well, you know
not a whole lot of sleep.
I got a great way to cheer you up. We have four business leaders we're going to get to talk to, and I have a feeling it's going to be a very eclectic day. We have quite a diverse arrangement. Should be fun.
I already got an Apple gift this morning, so
I know.
You know, that helped
I
as
know.
Well.
They didn't bring one for the co-host, but that's okay. That's okay.
I will share.
It's big enough to share.
Yes.
It's impressive.
And in Dax's defense, he had no idea there was a co-host.
Absolutely. You didn't tell him. I know.
We'll have to invite him back.
There you go.
And you'll get your Apple.
There you go.
Joining us today on the show from the Gwinnett Place Community Improvement District, we're joined by Joe Allen, also from the Greater Gwinnett Championship. That's all golf, Stephen. You'll like this. It's Elisa Duman. And here to talk about Christmas in the Corners at Peachtree Corners, we have Sherry Snyder. She's an artist and the owner of Objet d'Art Gallery and Studios at Peachtree Corners. And Dax Dossman, who's the owner of Adams Apples. So we'll be joined by them in a couple of minutes. But we're going to start with Joe Allen with the Gwinnett Place CID, or Community Improvement District. First of all, good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
What is the Gwinnett Place CID? What do you do?
We are a self-taxing district created by the state of Georgia, the Constitution of the state of Georgia, local legislation, and a resolution of the Gwinnett County Board of Commissioners. Now, I am not a county employee, a state employee, or a federal employee. I work for the commercial property owners here in the greater Gwinnett Place area who have voluntarily agreed to self-tax themselves to use those funds to have a return on investment for infrastructure investments, public safety enhancements, those type of things in the greater Gwinnett Place area. We are one of about 14 CIDs that are in the metro Atlanta area. Most of the major activity centers, whether it be Cumberland, downtown, midtown, perimeter, all have formed a community improvement district since the first one formed in the mid-1980s.
What is the basis for forming the CID? What is the overall goal?
It depends on the area. Many areas such as Perimeter and Cumberland, when they were formed years ago, it was transportation. For us, transportation was an important part of it, but was also primarily redevelopment. What can be done to redevelop Gwinnett's central business district here at Gwinnett Place?
Joe, how long has the Gwinnett Place CID been in existence?
We were organized in 2005.
Okay. And what kind of a process was that to get started? And also, what kind of a process are you going through year over year? Is it a yearly renewal? Kind of talk about the buildup and then talk about the maintenance of it.
Actually, I was with the Chamber of Commerce at the time, the Gwinnett Chamber. And I like to tell the story. They looked out the window and saw change was happening in the southwestern part of the county. Didn't have any tools kits in the toolbox. And they said, what can we do? And so they did some research. CIDs, or business improvement districts, what they're called in other parts of the U.S., had been very successful. And so the chamber took the lead, made some of my time available to work with the property owners in this area to form a CID. And literally, you go to that property owner, that commercial property owner, they have to sign a form saying, yes, I want to be a part of the CID. Yes, I voluntarily agree to have an additional tax put on my tax bill that will then come back to the CID Board of Directors. I report to a 7-member Board of Directors, and they will determine how those funds shall be spent to improve the area. And we do have a shelf life of 6 years. So after 6 years, if the property owners get together and say, it worked great, they will vote to continue. If after the end of 6 years they say, you know what, this didn't work out, we gave it the college try, then there is a process to dismantle the CID. And that's the great thing about it. It's a public-private partnership. It's not a continuation of government. The property owner's control, does it continue, does it not continue?
So in public-private, obviously the self-taxing is how you fund it, so they agree to help fund it with the self-tax. Is there also access to public funds as well?
Yes, what we will then do is go and leverage those funds. So for us, for every dollar of self-taxed, just an infrastructure improvement, we get an estimated about $8 of other funds, whether it come from the federal government, the state government, nonprofit organizations, or Gwinnett County government.
And doing all the stuff that the commercial business owners don't have time to do because they're keeping their head above water and building their business, you guys are a partner in their corner, and then they're showing that they have skin in the game.
Yes, yes.
And it's so much more than just planting bushes or planting trees. I mean, there's infrastructures that you've invested in. Talk about that. You've got safety patrols. Talk about all the things that the CID does do for these property owners.
Okay, well, probably the most what most people would recognize the area for is the new Diverging Diamond Interchange there at Pleasant Hill Road. We like to say where you drive on the opposite side of the roadway to improve your commute.
You get to feel British for about 5 seconds.
Yes.
For 5 seconds, you feel British.
But yes. Most importantly, it has created the traffic movement that has been missing for about a decade in that area.
Yes. When we have done surveys, stakeholder groups and other type of getting input from folks, we asked them, why don't you come back to the Gwinnett Place area? Traffic was the number one issue, and it all came back to that congestion point there going over the I-85 River. And so the CID several years ago took the lead. We did some initial feasibility studies, what could be done there. We actually paid for the what's called the Interchange Modification Report through the state of Georgia. It's about a year and a half long process where you have to prove to the state and to the feds that there is traffic congestion in the area. And so you have to go through several hurdles before you can actually do anything with the bridge. We then worked with our partners at Gwinnett County DOT, State Road and Tollway Authority, cobbled together funding in addition to funding from the CID, and then came up with the idea of the Diverging Diamond Interchange. We are the first in Gwinnett County, second in the state of Georgia. DDIs are relatively new to the United States. The first one went live probably about 5 or 6 years ago in Springfield, Missouri. It was very successful. Now most every state either has a DDI that's been constructed, under construction, or they're planning to do something with a DDI because they are cost-effective. You can move forward with them relatively inexpensively compared to building a whole new bridge. For example, this bridge is going to cost anywhere from $6 to $8 million when everything is said and done with right-of-way and construction versus over $58 million to replace the bridge. And the good thing is we've got a useful life of that Pleasant Hill Road Bridge, which was still very structurally sound for another 10 years. Now, eventually, will the bridge have to be replaced? Possibly. But we bought ourselves a decade of improvements. So we've gone from level of service improvements F to ABs. And that's had a significant improvement on the travel time along Pleasant Hill Road.
We're talking with Joe Allen, the executive director of the Gwinnett Place Community Improvement District, or the Community Place CID. Are there plans for any other diverging diamond intersections around Gwinnett County?
Yes, actually, our sister CID, Gwinnett Village CID, is under construction right now with a diverging diamond interchange, and they will have crossover sometime next year with the project being completed. And I know several parts of the metro area, they're looking at that. The Cumberland CID, I read an article this morning, says that they're looking at DDI possibly for one of the bridges in their area. So, it again, it's a cost-effective way to move traffic more efficiently.
Two questions for you here, Joe. First, obviously the Gwinnett Place CID is probably centered around Gwinnett Place, but kind of talk a little bit about the borders, how far out.
That's why he's the co-host. Smart guy. That Georgia Tech education is not being wasted.
My mom would be so proud. Secondly, kind of go back to Mike's question. Obviously, the DDI is kind of the crowning jewel. But talk about some of the other things, especially through the history of what you have done, and also feel free to talk about what maybe some future projects are too.
Excellent. Well, you're right. We are centered around the Gwinnett Place Mall area. Mm-hmm. About 238 parcels are part of the CID. If you're familiar with the area, Pleasant Hill Road, we go from right before Club Drive. Pleasant Hill over I-85, right past Old Norcross. And then if you go north to south, we go from Steve Reynolds up to here at Satellite and Old Norcross. So we get that commercial heart of the area. Some of the things that we are continuing to do in addition to the DDI, you mentioned the community patrols. We have a 7-day-a-week community patrol, which is out in the area. Every day, they act as ambassadors to help people with directions, with if their car won't start. But they're also the eyes and ears. We work very closely with Gwinnett County Police and also the new Georgia State Patrol Post that's now here in the greater Gwinnett Place area. We have seen, since we started those patrols in 2007, a 49% decrease. If you compare last year with our benchmark year of 07, decrease in criminal situations in this area. Work, again, very closely with Gwinnett County Police. We're also out there making certain there's no graffiti in the area. If there is, we're getting it removed. If there's a broken window, we're getting with the property owner, getting that repaired. If the lights are out, we're getting those repaired with Jackson EMC or Georgia Power or the property owner. So doing those little things to keep the area safe. We also have a crew out five days a week that is cleaning up and cutting the grass, edging, picking up trash on the 10 miles of roadway that make up the CID. And as a result, we've last year alone removed 23 tons of trash, and that was just last year alone. As of end of October, we had removed 21 tons this year. So again, doing those broken windows, those little things that can make a big difference. Working very close with the police, with their multi-housing crime-free task force, which is involved with 26 apartment complexes that surround Gwinnett Place. Crime is going down, making Gwinnett Place one of the safest, cleanest areas for people to visit. And our community patrols will be beefing up for the holiday shopping season so that they'll see a lot of enforcement, law enforcement in this area from the CID, Gwinnett County, and the State Patrol. This is one of the safest areas in Gwinnett County today.
It's amazing because Joe started off by talking about the self-taxing. People actually electing to pay more tax, but after hearing that, you can understand why they would want to do it.
All business owners understand return on investment. And number one, the return on investment of being able to go back to them and go, for every dollar you guys have given, we've gotten eight out of the state. But then obviously the payoff is for more than just the business owners. It's for the residents. It's for everyone who drives through. And making Pleasant Hill, I love how you said the river of 85, but making Pleasant Hill a go-to place in Gwinnett County again.
Yes, and you know, other things that we're doing are involved with economic development. I do want to make certain that we mentioned the new opportunity zone that was just approved. The CID took the lead last year, prepared the very lengthy application with the state of Georgia, worked in partnership with the Gwinnett Chamber of Commerce and the Gwinnett County government, got that approved last December 21st, and that allows for a $3,500 tax credit for every new job coming into the area. It's gotten this area back on the radar. We just had an event with brokers, had the room packed. We're having hundreds of new jobs, either have already come into the area or are slated to come into the area because of that tax incentive. And again, that would not be here had the CID not been in existence and had not been funded by the commercial property owners.
Mike, we joke all the time that we wish we could get some passionate business owners in here because so many people are passionate. It's great to have a public-private partnership. So I won't call you a public employee, but you're one of the closest we've gotten to a public employee, and the passion comes through here.
If he could convince people to self-tax themselves, this is like the greatest politician ever, but he's not a politician.
That's probably why he's one of the greatest politicians ever.
And you've got something called an opportunity zone to help with economic development. What is the opportunity zone?
That's what I was mentioning, that $3,500 tax credit.
Okay.
And that is the most robust tax incentive the state of Georgia offers. And again, we took the lead, working with our partners to get that into place. And that's one of the first first things that businesses look for. Do you have any type of tax incentive for me to locate into your area? And we've got, such as the building we're in here, we've got beautiful facilities that are well-maintained. Now we've got that incentive in place to kind of help push it over the edge, get us back on the radar, get us back in the game. And I do believe the OZ is going to be a great game changer. So you've got the economic development tools, that plus others that are involved in the area, the tax allocation district and other type of things we've worked with our partners on for this area. You've got infrastructure, you've got safety, you've got the area being clean. We're putting the pieces of the puzzle to make Gwinnett Place and keep Gwinnett Place very successful.
And just so I'm clear, Joe, and we're talking again with Joe Allen, the executive director with the Gwinnett Place CID, it's the property owners that are funding this, not so much the business owners, it's more the property owners.
It is the commercial property owners. It's not the businesses themselves. It's not residential. It is the commercial property owners.
And I assume there are some out there that may not buy in for whatever reason, and you kind of, you know, how do you bring in those people that have not really bought in just yet?
Well, you'll see there are some holes in the CID map for some folks that could not come in, but the good thing about it is if you've got one or two that do not want to be a part of it, through the legislation, you can, what we call, sweep them in, pull them in. If the vast majority in the area want to be a part of it, as long as you meet certain thresholds, some of those would be non-voluntary, but the vast, vast majority are people that voluntarily say, yes, we see that return on the investment
plus
for the area.
You guys now, Joe, have about a 7-8 year track record that the property owners, I mean, if they see before and after pictures, I mean, clearly there's been a huge return on investment like we've been talking
about. Oh, yes. I mean, it's simple things like the cleanliness of the area. You don't see the trash. You don't see the weeds that are up to your waist as it was, you know, several years ago. And, again, we do have those before and afters. We're actually will be beginning next year probably an expansion campaign with the economy improving and other things. We believe now it's an opportunity for us to go after some of those other property owners that have not come in. But we can say, look, we've got a record. We've got positive results. Help us do more by being a part of this success.
Dare I ask what else is next for the Gwinnett Place CID?
We're really focused on economic development. Now, we do have some infrastructure projects such as, actually, if you pull out here to Commerce just this morning, you'll see some sidewalks going in. So little things like sidewalks are important or streetscaping. But we're also really going to be focusing in on economic development. We're right now in the middle of identifying the top catalyst sites, the top properties in this area that would be ripe for redevelopment. And we're going to be reaching out, talking to those property owners, looking, okay, how can the CID, our partners in county government, in the chamber and elsewhere, what can we do to move you off first base and get you moving forward so we can hit that home run? And so that's really where I think you're going to see us do that with the OZ, the tax allocation district. That's going to be huge. We're resetting that right now. That's going to be a positive for this area.
All right, Joe, great stuff. I feel like we could talk for a long time about all the wonderful stuff the Gwinnett Place CID is doing, but we'll just have to have you come back, I guess.
I'd welcome the opportunity.
Great stuff. Congratulations. Keep up the great work. For those out there, the business owners, the business leaders that would like to find out more, perhaps even get involved, where can they find more information?
You can go to our website, GwinnettPlaceCID.com. It has all the details on the various studies, when our board of directors meets. Everything we do is on that website.
Great. Thank you so much, Joe.
Thank you for this opportunity.
Joining us now on Gwinnett Business Radio, we're going to be joined by Elisa Duman. She is the tournament director with the Greater Gwinnett Championship. Good morning, Elisa.
Good morning.
The Greater Gwinnett Championship. Now, this is the – is it the that's why I'm here to help you answer all the questions. I don't want to know if Senior PGA is still the correct name.
No, don't say that.
Okay.
No.
Champions Tour, right?
It's now the Champions Tour. Okay,
The Georgia Tech education coming through again, Mike.
Yeah, well, exactly. But so it's the not the PGA, but the veterans. The
Champions.
Champions Tour that plays out at Sugarloaf. Now, tell us what's going on there. What's the latest?
Well, as you said, we're the Greater Gwinnett Championship, which is a PGA Tour's Champions Tour golf tournament. We're coming back for our second year this April, the 14th through the 20th, which is the week after the Masters, which we think is just a perfect time period for us. Some of the latest and greatest that we have, we've added a couple things to our schedule of events. On Monday, we have the Matt Ryan Celebrity Am Classic, which benefits Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. Now, we had this event last year, but this year, we're making it open to the public, and it's also free admission. So spectators can actually come out and watch some of their favorite local celebrities play golf. Also on that day, we've added Executive Women's Day. It's a day-long event that's designed to encourage social and business relationships, but we're also using it as a tool to educate female executives on why golf is so important and why they need to invest in golf and how they can grow their business with it. Also, what we have new is we just signed a 3-year deal with State Bank and Trust Company. They've signed on to not only be our official bank, but they are also the title sponsor of our kickoff party on Tuesday and our Pro-Am event that's taking place on Wednesday and Thursday. Now, the official rounds are still Friday through Sunday, nationally televised on the Golf Channel, and we will still be giving back to our benefiting charities in the Gwinnett community.
Talk about that, Elisa, the charities. I mean, that's obviously a huge part of it.
It's pretty much the biggest reason that we do these events. This year, we just announced our recipients. They are going to be Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, Georgia Gwinnett College Foundation, and Gwinnett Medical Center Foundation. And those funds are going to the Concussion Institute.
Elisa, at this point in time, we're still about 6 months away as of this broadcast. How big is the field? Do you have commitments already and
unfortunately, we can't gain any commitments until the Champions Tour announces the schedule, which is usually some point in December, maybe early January. So once they do that, we'll be able to see who's coming. But we really do expect all the top names that came last year to return again.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you a hard-hitting history question here. This is the second year for the Greater Gwinnett Championship. before they did this last year, what did the Champions Tour do during this week, the week after the Masters?
The week after the Masters used to be the tournament in Tampa that was around for 25 years, which I actually came up from that event.
Really?
Yes,
see,
correct.
My hard-hitting found out a little. So it's a natural progression for you to be the tournament director up here.
It is.
Fantastic. So if this is kind of relatively new, your experience with this event at Sugarloaf Country Club, what sets Sugarloaf apart in your mind? What do you like about the course? What do you like about the venue? And what do you see for the event in the future?
Well, the first thing that I saw when I even just came up here before taking the job was TPC Sugarloaf is a gorgeous course. Bernhard Langer said it best on the 18th green on Sunday when he won last year that it was prettier than Augusta. And I've heard him say that a couple times. I'm sure they don't want to hear it, but we love to hear it. Sugarloaf is a beautiful course. It's in such incredible shape. I don't know if you saw, but Mike Crawford, who's the superintendent there, was just named the superintendent of the year for the state of Georgia. So we're very fortunate with that. But it was just a challenging course for the professionals. They came out. It was a real long course for them. I think it pretty much actually played longer than the PGA Tour course did that same week. So they were all very excited just to get back.
Fantastic. Now, talk a little bit about, we're obviously Gwinnett Business Radio, so we talk to a lot of business leaders and we have business leaders listening. If I'm a small business owner specifically, how can I leverage the Greater Gwinnett Championship for my own business? What are some opportunities? Obviously, I would think about tickets, I would think about going, but you're the tournament director, so I'm looking for a little bit of inside information. If I'm a small business owner, how can I leverage the championship for my business?
Well, and you hit the nail on the head there. I mean, our ticket prices are very affordable, and we start with a general admission ticket for one day at just $20. But we also order very affordable ticket packages. And for the small business owner that maybe can't come out and buy a larger hospitality package, utilizing those tickets to thank their current customers, reward their employees. It's just a great way to really utilize the tournament.
And we also learned today that the Matt Ryan Celebrity Classic on Monday will be free admission to the public to come walk the grounds and check out the course.
That's exactly it. So they'll be able to come out and spectate for free on Monday. And you'll also start to see some of the professionals arriving on site.
That's what I was going to ask, if any of the professionals will be participating.
They won't be participating in the event, more than likely. However, they'll be up on the driving range. They'll be on the putting green. After the Matt Ryan event is off, they'll be out there playing their practice round. So you'll see the movement.
I want to hear more about this Executive Women's Day going on. Tell us more about that. That's very intriguing.
Like I said, it's a day long of events. We're going to start over at the Gwinnett Center, and we'll have a speaker panel of top female executives from the Gwinnett community and around Metro Atlanta. We're still nailing down some of those, but we do have four that will be announced soon. We also will have a keynote speaker with a luncheon, and then we're going to bus all the ladies over to TPC Sugarloaf, give them a behind-the-scenes tour on what it takes to put on a professional golf tournament, and then the day will end with a networking function that's sponsored by Primerica.
Obviously, the tournament, it's a great entertainment tool for companies. You've talked a little bit about that with Stephen there, what you can offer to the corporate community out there. The public enjoys this as well. It seems to grow, and you've added more events this year. Where do you see it going? What are some of the things that you'd like to do as you continue to grow the event?
Well, I think we're just going to continue to add events throughout the week that's going to try to make this event something for everyone. I think people hear the word golf tournament, and they might automatically think, I don't like golf, or I don't play golf. And it's not about that. With it being the week after the Masters, the weather's starting to become beautiful in this area. We want to be looked at as another major event festival in Metro Atlanta. And we all know what that's like in the springtime. There's one every weekend. And we want to be the place that people want to go to walk around, drink a beer, hang out with friends, be with their family. We have Kids Day activities on Saturday, and to be able to have the kids come out and really enjoy it as well.
Speaking of the kids, you said that tickets are very, very affordable on an individual basis, and I asked about business owners. Let's talk about families, because most business owners are moms and dads. What's the benefit of bringing my children to the actual event? What's the cost of tickets for kids?
Well, the best part is kids are free, 16 and under with a ticketed adult.
16 and under, Mike?
Wow.
Yeah.
So you weren't expecting that, were you?
Usually it's, 12 and under for that free meal at the restaurant or whatever?
No, try 6 and under usually.
16 and under.
16 and under. And like I said, on Saturday we're going to have some family activities. There'll be games, face painting, prizes. We have mascots that come out the kids love taking pictures with. We're also looking into adding a skills challenge for your older kids, so kind of a drive, chip, and putt activity.
Do you find maybe the traditionalists like might not like that? Oh, you're messing with golf. Golf is a pure game, and we don't want the kids there and all that. You haven't had any challenges like that, I would hope.
We really haven't had any challenges like that. You know, the traditionalists are going to still get out there. They're still going to walk the course. They're still going to enjoy it. But quite frankly, they like to be around other people too. It's not quite the same when you're walking around by yourself out on the course.
Elisa Duman is the tournament director for the Greater Gwinnett Championship. What do you enjoy most about what you're doing right now with your job? And you're, as you talked about earlier, you're fairly new to this job.
I'm fairly new to Gwinnett, so that in itself has been great, getting to work with the business leaders in this community, trying to be active in the chamber and meeting as many people as possible. So that in itself is just exciting for me, is to get out there and meet new people. But I really enjoy Champions Tour Golf. These are the biggest name in the sport. When you look at the list of people that came to our event, these are the golfers that you recognize. The Tom Watsons, the Mark O'Maras, Corey Pavins. We have the names on golf that everybody knows and loves, the people that you grew up watching.
Yeah, you look at the Champions Tour, the names, those are the ones that we all know.
Well,
you look at the PGA Tour, other than Tiger, I don't know any of them.
Well, what's really funny is you talk about history, and back when it was called the Seniors Tour, it was Jack, Arnie, and Chi-Chi, and they'd be on every week on ESPN, but you know, there'd be just a handful of people watching them, and that was back in the ESPN days where they were trying to find things to put on TV. But it has become and I noticed how you called it, it's the PGA Tour Champions Tour. So it is part of the PGA Tour. The level of competition, the way people, you know, there's so many different winners, and their quality of play is just fantastic. It truly has grown with the times.
That's exactly. You look at Vijay Singh, who just came out for his first event this year, and, you know, I think a lot of people probably would have expected him to just blow it away, and he didn't win. You know, that's the level of competition that's still out here on the Champions Tour that people aren't expecting.
Well, that speaks to it. Because in the past, whoever the youngest guy was who would just come out, he'd win like 7 tournaments every year. That doesn't happen anymore. There's just too many good players. And the other part is the Champions players who go back for some of the big PGA events, and they still compete. Fred Couples and Tom Watson at the British Open a couple years ago. I'm a little bit of a golf fan.
I can tell. I like it.
Elisa, for those either business owners that would like to find out more about sponsorships or bring in their groups or bring in their businesses, or for the individuals and families that want to know more about tickets, where can they go to find all this type of great information?
They can find it at GreaterGwinnettChampionship.com. We also have information on our Facebook page. We've got a Twitter feed. We've got Instagram. We've got a little bit of everything.
Elisa, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And one last time, as we wrap it up, the interview, give us the dates one more time.
April 14th through the 20th. 2014, week after the Masters.
The week after the Masters. That's the one you got to remember, Mike.
Beautiful time of the year, too. And a beautiful course. So if you've never been out to Sugarloaf for any of the golf events they've had in the past, make sure you come out there in April for this one. The Greater Gwinnett Championship. Elisa Duman, thanks again for your time.
Thank you.
All right, joining us now on Gwinnett Business Radio, we have a couple here. Well, they're not. They're a couple. They're to.
They're not a couple of business owners,
but they're
here
not
to
a
talk
couple.
About a special
yes,
event.
Yes, yes. Sherry Snyder, who's been with us before, she's an artist and owner of Objet d'Art Gallery and Studios at Peachtree Corners, and she brought with her today Dax Dossman, who's the owner of Adams Apples. He's a floral designer, a certified balloon artist. Not just a balloon artist, but a certified balloon artist.
I love it.
And a chocolatier. He also serves on the board of directors for the Christmas in the Corners, which is an event coming up this holiday season for Peachtree Corners. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Sherry,
good morning. Thanks.
Tell us all about Christmas in the Corners. What's that all about?
Well, Christmas in the Corners came about by collaboration. It started out with Dax and I, and we brought in some other business.
So you two started this?
Yes, we did.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay.
And we brought in some other business owners and local citizens, collaboration to create a 501c3 that promotes an increased sense of community for our new community in Peachtree Corners. I mean, we've been there, but we're a new city, and we want to start some traditions that we could carry on through the years. So part of our purpose was to create events that will become tradition in our city, and we also had a purpose of promoting the local businesses. Shop local is the theme of part of what we're doing. And the other thing is to give our youth some educational opportunities and also be able to contribute to the local education foundations. So it's a threefold purpose, but our big event for the year is Christmas in the Corners Parade that's coming up on November 23rd at 10 a.m. on the Corners Parkway.
All right, so tell us more about the parade and any other events that you have going on that day.
The parade will kick off at the top of Corners Parkway, and it's a half-mile route. Since we came into this in August, believe it or not, that's late to start a parade for Christmas. So next year we're hoping it goes down Peachtree Parkway. We have to start as soon as this parade's over to get our permits with the Department of Transportation and try to get it on Peachtree Parkway next year. But for now, it's on the Corners Parkway. It's a nice tree-lined route that we have about 60 units that'll be included in the parade, marching bands, dancing groups, different things like that. And then after the parade, Santa Claus ends the parade. So he will come around into Candy Cane Lane and do his workshop, and he'll meet with the children and find out what they want on, you know, what's on their Christmas list, and give them a little treat. We'll have photo ops for the families, and Candy Cane Lane will also have some food trucks and other vendors so that people could have something to eat after the parade.
Did you hear that, Stephen? Of all the Christmas parades and everything going on this holiday season, Santa is coming to this parade in Peachtree Corners.
So they didn't get the route they exactly wanted, but man, they landed the biggest guest.
You landed the big guy.
We did. Fantastic. We landed the big guy. He couldn't wait to come to Peachtree Corners.
You mentioned some marching bands. We'll talk more about some of the groups that we'll see in the parade for the spectators that come out to watch it.
Well, we'll have the Shriners there with their mini cars and their clowns. We'll have
can't have a parade without the Shriners.
That's right. Of course, Norcross High School Marching Band. We'll have some dancing groups, different cheerleaders and cheer teams, and
floats and race cars.
Right. We have at least 9 floats in it. We have some all kinds of things that are going to be through the parade.
Do you have any of the
Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts?
Did you get any of the fire trucks to come through?
And we
do have fire trucks coming through.
Okay, that right there, that's all I need to hear.
You know, all I hear is they have a plethora of units
it's
and
be a
people.
Great
it sounds great.
I'm very excited. I'm just like a kid in the candy store. I can't wait to see it.
Oh,
you are a kid.
You are a kid. And we'll talk about that in just a minute.
Dax, I wanted to ask you specifically. Sherry had talked about this is kind of one event of trying to build more. Talk a little bit about the vision. Talk a little bit of maybe what might be next or what else can be done or would be done around the parade and the Christmas in the Corners.
Well, actually, we've started discussing what we would like to do next year, and it's just been recent that we've talked about it. We'd like to do something maybe Christmas in July next year, as well as possibly something around a Halloween season, but also discussing to make it a little bit more inclusive of everyone in the religious factor, that maybe next year's parade is going to be themed holidays around the world. Mm-hmm.
And you guys, obviously, this came together, started with 2 business owners.
Very quickly.
I was going to say. So,
first board meeting of 2.5 hours ended up turning into a 501c3 nonprofit at the end of it, and it just kind of grew from there.
You know, and that kind of speaks to business owners see what they do as more than just making money, more than just the bottom line. You're truly trying to impact the community.
Just awareness.
And
lots of awareness.
And doing more than just making money, but also building community. That's one of the things you said, Sherry. So how else do you do that? What are some of the other challenges in that? And what has been the response of the community so far?
The response of the community so far is a lot of excitement. Very little has been said, unfortunately, on the inclusiveness of all religions. We've only had one comment which we have started to address. Unfortunately, it came in a little late for us to do anything about for this year.
Our intent was never to exclude anyone. It's a holiday parade. The name of the business is Christmas in the Corners. It's kind of catchy with Peachtree Corners, you know, Christmas in the Corners. But the intent is a holiday parade, and the intent is also local businesses and local children, and that's not exclusive of anybody. No matter what their vision is.
And that was never our intent.
Right, and it's okay to expand it from here.
Absolutely.
It's okay to celebrate Christmas in the corners and
we've
then
got to crawl before we walk.
Yeah.
So we've got plans in motion to make sure that we include everyone. And even from our stage, we will be thanking everyone that doesn't necessarily celebrate Christmas, but every other holiday for joining us that day as well.
Obviously, the idea, one of the big ideas, is to get excitement for that area, to get people to come to the area and to see and discover maybe a lot of these stores and shops that they did not even realize were there. And we have you two great business owners right here. We'll start with you, Sherry, with Objet Dart Gallery and Studios. Give us a quick synopsis about what people would find if they walked into your gallery.
The one side of our business is a fine art gallery. We invite local artists and some regional artists to bring their art in to sell to our community. We have anything from $8 ceramic pieces to $10,000 hand-painted screens and everything in between. It's a perfect place to shop for holiday gifts. Everything is one of a kind. Everything is original art. On the other side of our business is a studio. We teach canvas painting. We teach pottery, stained glass, fused glass, just about every kind of art media that you can imagine. We have classes for that in our studio.
All right. And Dax, you're the owner of Adam's Apples. Tell us what we would find if we walked through the doors of Adam's Apples. Other than just apples, of course.
Lots of affordable indulgence for the senses, definitely. I'm a floral designer of 25 years, a certified balloon artist, being one of 2,800 in the world that specializes in decor for larger events. We do exploding balloons, confetti cannons.
Everything but exploding balloons.
Exploding balloons.
What are exploding balloons?
Basically, we've got a larger 3-foot balloon that's stuffed with smaller balloons inside. We can either do a balloon release with helium balloons once the larger balloon is exploded, or smaller balloons that are just filled with air that fall to the ground once the larger balloon is exploded. I am a chocolatier. We do gourmet apples, more than just red candy apples. And our caramel on our apples won't stick to your teeth. I made sure of that because there's nothing worse than having a mouthful of caramel and no apple. I've been making chocolate actually since I was about 8 years old. My great grandmother is the one that started teaching me how to make chocolate.
The heck with Santa Claus. Dax is my hero. You know, and you brought, by the way, right here, we got one of these nice apples. I mean, look at the size of this apple here.
That's our jumbo apple. We actually do two sizes. One's a little bit smaller than that, that has wonderful caramel on top of it with pecans and chocolate and more white chocolate on the top.
Go back to the very first thing you said. When someone walks in your store, what is it they experience?
I'm not really sure since I've not been on that side of the counter. But
what are you aiming for?
Just fun. Something that people can realize that, you know, flowers and chocolates, it's not affordable. It is affordable, and it's not just one time a year.
And it's indulging their senses. That's what he said that I was intrigued by.
Affordable indulgence for the senses.
So it's not absolutely only the smells, it's also the sights, and it's also the tastes. So
well, absolutely. I mean, I'm a 45-year-old man who plays with balloons and flowers all day. So, you know, there's got to be some fun in there somewhere.
Now Dax, Stephen, ask Dax the question you asked about his business card before we went on the air.
You already stole it. See, it says on your business card, it says Dax Dossman, and then it says CBA. Well, I work in financial services, so I deal with a lot of CPAs, but CBA is for Certified Balloon
Certified
Artist.
Certified Balloon Artist, yes.
Now,
do you go to school?
Do you go to school?
Quit taking
my questions, Mike.
I thought you were going
trying to have fun here.
How do you go to school for that? How does that happen?
No, I didn't go to school for it. There is a large company in the United States that manufactures one of the best balloons in the world, and they certified me. And I actually spent a year taking paper tests, and then at the end of the year, I had a 4-hour hands-on interview, and then got certified. So there's a lot more than just playing with balloons.
Right.
It's all the mechanics and mathematical questions about how much is in this tank and how many balloons can you blow up. And
there's a lot to it.
There's a lot more to it than just a balloon on a ribbon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's not just the dollar store, grab something out. Definitely not. And it also, I would imagine part of what you do, both with the apples and also balloons and flowers, you're trying to wow people. I mean,
absolutely. I mean, that's My style is something that is certainly different. I mean, the combinations that we use, flavor combinations with our chocolates, are something that are pretty unusual. And I'm always looking for new ideas. If anybody's got something that they want to taste, bring it to me and let's try it.
And I think also, Mike, it's an interesting combination of both sherry and Dax, because sherry obviously doing fine art and showing artists in the region, but then also teaching people how to do it. And Dax, Dax doing flowers and balloons, you know, I can go to insert grocery store here and pay $4 and get some flowers, but we're talking quality. We're talking arts. We're talking
people that know more about the flowers than just what color they are.
Correct. And how to put a tag on it. I mean, correct. You're a craftsman. You're an absolutely. Artist as well. So
yes, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you'd like to be wild by Dax's balloon art, he is doing some spectacular pieces for the parade over at Candy Cane Lane, and he'll have a booth set up for sampling and purchasing at the parade as well.
I'm sure the flowers and balloons are great. I'm sorry, but the chocolate apples are kind of the key to
I
me.
Know you're a little jealous. I'll have to make sure that I get that too.
You've been
no,
eyeing this
chocolate. No, I'm going to come to your store and buy one. Forget about you.
Hey,
I
love that even
better.
Here, Stephen.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Is that
I
why
saw
you've
it
hidden
the,
it?
Right. It's not on the desk anymore.
No, I don't want to tease you with it anymore because I'm not sure if I want to share it. It looks
I'm going to dive across the table and get, yeah.
is there a website or anything that you guys have set up that people could find out more information about the Christmas in the Corners?
Absolutely, ChristmasInTheCorners.com. And if you mess up and do .org or .inc or .anything else, it'll divert you over to ChristmasInTheCorners.com.
And it'll give all the information, the parade route, I guess, what to expect.
Right, and if you would like to volunteer, if you'd like to sponsor us, anything that you need to know is on our website.
Give the date and time again.
It's November 23rd at 10 a.m. sharp at the Corners Parkway in Peachtree Corners.
Rain or shine.
And I think it would also, we'd be remiss if we didn't also let them also talk about their businesses. Where do we go? Dax, where do we go to find Adam's Apple? What's the website? All that good stuff. And then Sherry for Objet d'Art.
Adam's Apples is actually located in the High Life Shopping Center. Our website is www.adamsapplesonline.com. And we're in Peachtree Corners. Come out and see us.
Do people come in and ask for Adam or
Absolutely.
You're Adam all the time?
I get called Adam so many times. I've thought about changing my name, but instead I just put a giant teddy bear in the store, and he's now Adam.
Oh. You got a marketing person here, by the way. This guy knows how to market.
Absolutely.
And sharing information for your art gallery can be found where?
We have a website. It's Objet d'Art Gallery, or you could find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/Objet d'Art Peachtree Corners, and it's spelled OBJETDART Gallery.
We talked about that last time you were on the show. Make sure you get that right. Dax and Sherry, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Want to thank all of our guests for an enjoyable show today. Dax Dossman, the owner of Adam's Apples, and Sherry Snyder, an artist and owner of Objet d'Art Gallery and Studios, both here to talk about Christmas in the Corners at Peachtree Corners. Also, a big thank you to Elisa Duman with the Greater Gwinnett Championship and Joe Allen with the Gwinnett Place Community Improvement District. Big thank you for all our guests for joining us this morning. A quick reminder that Gwinnett Business Radio can be heard throughout the day on the Gwinnett Business Radio X station, and that you can listen to any of our programs 24/7 by logging on to GwinnettBusinessRadio.BusinessRadioX.com. For Stephen Julian.
Mike, you showed great restraint and patience in not eating that apple until we get off the air.
Oh, it's going to be gone in 5 minutes.
Well, that's because I'm stealing it from you.
No problem. Yeah. I will share with you. I'm not a mean person like I come across
not
on the
all.
Show.
Not at all.
For Steve and I'm Mike Salmon. We'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.